Thank you for joining me on another episode of She Leads Now podcast, where we help career and entrepreneurial women gain the tools to develop a success mindset, create winning strategies, build collaborative relationships, and take bold action towards creating impact and fulfillment in their lives and careers. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and I'm on a mission to awaken and activate women and emerging leaders so they can tap into their innate leadership ability, elevate their influence, and create the impact they were destined to make. If you're ready to uplevel your confidence, courage, and influence, you've come to the right place. Join me weekly for insights, strategies, and resources to help you grow, develop, and embody the leader you were meant to be, so that you can make the impact you know you are called to make and establish the legacy you've always dreamed. The world eagerly awaits the emergence of your brilliance, impact, and influence. So with that, let's dive into this week's episode. Hello and happy Wednesday, everyone. Thank you so much for joining, for tuning in. For those of you who are completely new to the show, welcome. I'm excited to have you here. For those of you who are returning, welcome back. I am equally excited to have you here. And so again, I'm Sabine Gideon. I'm the host of the show. I also serve in the capacity as an executive and career leadership strategist. And my focus or the people that I work with are primarily women and emerging leaders. So with that, I want to introduce my lovely guest today who is graciously here, Jennifer Anderson. And so Jennifer has over 25 years as a leadership career strategist and author, consulting with national and international companies to build their leaders into the leaders that everyone wants to work for, while also reducing employee attrition. She is a sought-after speaker about leadership and has addressed many industry organizations and universities. She is published in Forbes and other trade magazines, and her most recent work, body of work, her book, Call for Compassion, Building a Compassionate Environment for Collaboration, Community, and Connection, will be out on Amazon in this month. So with that, Jennifer, please share a little bit more about who you are, the major career milestones for those who missed you on episode 65 of the original Leadership Reloaded series.
Yeah, exactly. Sabine, thank you so much. It's so fun to do this with you again. It's so great. I love having multiple touches with people out there in the world. So thanks. It's really good to see you again. And thanks for all the good work that you're doing. I think it's important. So thank you for that. So a little bit about me. I mean, I'm the type of person who over the years, I was the dutiful child who went to college and graduated because that's what your parents and your grandparents, at least in my family, that's what they were telling me. And so I went off to college to become a school teacher. And one semester into college, I'm like, what? No, no, I don't want to do that. And so, and I also got me thinking about all my favorite teachers growing up, were people who had careers outside of being a teacher. They'd gone and done things and then later pivoted into being a school teacher. And so anyhow, so I decided I'm not going to do that. And I remember it was one of those moments of, you know, what does Jen want versus what is the dutiful family member going to do, right? And standing up on my own two feet and just saying, no, I don't really want to do this anymore. But other key things in my career. I mean, I'm definitely somebody who I really love to be of service in the community. I'm through my work and whatnot, I've always made sure to reach out in the community and do different service and whatnot. And I've served on in different boards and different things. And to me, I feel like some of those are some of the juiciest ways to just eke really good stuff out of life. And so we can talk more about that too, if you like, but anyhow, that's a couple of highlights there.
So I'm curious, we're in similar spaces. So talk to us a little bit about the work that you do today. Since that decision to move away from being a school teacher, what has that journey looked like, and how has that translated into your present day work?
Yeah. So what I did is through college, I worked in retail because it was nice and flexible. I could get enough hours to work around my school schedule. And so I ended up getting into retail management. And then I got to a point where I'm like, oh, this is hard. Like all my holidays sucked. It's just like, I never could have like a Sunday off, you know, things like that. And so I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do retail anymore. Even though I was really, 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 really good at it. I took like one of the lowest performing stores in the company and took it to the top 10. It was like unheard of kind of stuff. And so, but I just was like, I'm good at it, but I don't love it. And so I decided at that point, okay, if I'm not going to do retail anymore, what is it I want to do? And I couldn't find a job. I thought maybe customer service. And I ended up going to a recruiting firm looking for a temp job. I thought, well, I could just find a temp job somewhere. Let's start with that. I'm a college graduate. I'm an intelligent person. I've managed the store. Like, I'm sure they can find me a job. And they said, do you want to be a recruiter? I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but sure, that sounds great. And so this is 25 years ago, Sabine, I got into the recruiting industry totally by complete accident. I had never even really thought of it as something. I just saw an ad in the newspaper because I'm that old. And it was, you know, like, hey, you know, customer service job. And it was at this staffing agency. And so anyhow, so that started an 11-year career working in the recruiting industry. And during that time, I talked to about 100,000 people looking for jobs and placed over 1,000 people in different positions. And it became really painfully aware to me that once people get that new job, they need help to succeed. And they're not always getting the right support that they need at home or from their bosses, or they just like in their mind, they're like, I don't know what to do. Cause you know, there's the old saying, you know, what gets us to this point is not necessarily what's going to get us to the next point. And so, so that's why in back in 2009, 15 years ago, I started doing coaching, and I was doing it on the side while still recruiting. And then I realized, you know what, I need to do this. And I was really just following that prompting in my heart of go and do this. And that's what I've been doing. And of course, it's included a lot of corporate training too, because there's a fair amount of corporations that are needing help for their teams. And that's not to help those people find a job. That's more helping them to succeed in their workplaces. So it's been a lot of fun through all of that.
Thank you. And so as I was reading your bio, you shared that, you know, your mission or your passion is really around supporting leaders to become the type of leaders that people actually want to work for or with. And, you know, in the last year since we talked, I can't believe it's been a year, but in the last year that we've talked, there's been more and more visibility or focus on helping leaders become better, you know, not just for the bottom line, but really for the people who serve their organizations and serve their mission. So I'm curious, you know, a year later, what, based on the work that you're doing with your clients, what's changed in terms of supporting leaders to step up and be that new type of leader that employees are looking for?
Yeah, for sure. I think some of the areas that are still staying the same are certainly the amount of fear and overwhelm for leaders and not acknowledging it publicly. There's a lot of people who privately will share things with me, you know, one-on-one in coaching calls and whatnot. But there's still this overall fear of I'm scared I'm going to lose my job. And so they're not speaking up still. And that's bad because it continues to perpetuate issues, and the leaders are the ones who need to lead, right? They're the tip of the arrow, right? Lead the way. And so, so for whatever reasons, there's still a lot of people who are reticent to speak up and really help to drive those cultural changes and things that need to happen. And then for the leaders themselves and their personal lives, some of the similar things that have continued to stay there are so many people who don't take care of their health. Now, I am not a personal trainer. I am not somebody who, I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a doctor, anything like that, but there are a lot of people who are not taking care of themselves physically. And so sleep issues, lack of just good rest, not taking vacation time, not prioritizing their health, working hard through the day, meaning no lunch break, or if they're getting something to eat, it might be some kind of fast, high sugary, think chips or candy bar, something like that. There's still a lot of people who are continuing to do that. And when I talk with them about, how they're managing their days and whatnot, it's an interesting shift. So talking about things that I'm seeing that's going better. I mean, definitely for people who recognize how important their health is and taking, and that's not just your physical health, but it's also your mental health. Man, they're the ones who really seem to, it's like they become these awakened beings when they realize, oh, I'm putting this, food in my mouth. This is what's happening to me. And so I'm better, I'm healthier. And then they're able to stand up and do more things for what they need to do for leading. It's really remarkable to me to see those two things that are interconnected. It's fascinating.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So I'm curious, as you shared in the beginning with regards to you're still seeing a lot of fear. And a lot of that fear is centered around, fear of losing your job. I'm curious, and obviously don't go into specifics with your clients, but how is that translating? What is it about this current environment that is contributing to that fear within leaders?
Yeah, well, there's a scarcity of positions, right? So I was just talking to somebody just yesterday, in fact, who mentioned a large finance company that laid off 3,000 people, right? And so this is becoming kind of the norm, right? Where we're hearing these large numbers. And so this is what people are seeing. And this is the stuff that if people are tied into watching the news or commuting into work and listening to news radio or any of that, the drone of the media around what's negative, right? So then that becomes their reality of like, well, I have a job, so I better do whatever it takes. And I'm too scared to speak up for something because I'm not in a position to go look for another job. I don't want to. It's hard. Who's going to hire me? And then it's reinforced with hearing about layoffs and things. And even though there are absolutely people getting jobs every day, there are companies that are hiring, there are positions. The louder overarching noise is the scarcity of jobs. And so then that's when they're just like, I'm just going to hold back. I'm not going to say it. And I will just quietly on my end, I will just put up with it. And so I think that people are starting to learn to deal with, with that reality for themselves right now. And it's sad, it's really sad because then they know also that they're feeling like they're not doing enough for themselves, but also for their people. And that's where it starts to get really hard.
Yeah. That's interesting because, this time last year when we were talking, there was already this extended period of fear and of unknown and of certainty. So people were already, especially leaders, they were making decisions that were rooted in fear. Whether that, was around for themselves, their businesses, their organizations, you name it. And here we are a year later where it feels like that same tension is there. It's just a different target, if you will, or it's due to a different issue, which, as we know, as coaches, right? Like whatever we consume is what we project out there. And so I can imagine that this is having an impact more than just the leader itself, but the organization as a whole. It's interesting, especially during times like this where there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of fear. I think that this is the type of time, at least this is what I'm doing, where I double down more so on who I am, what's my mission, what am I driving towards, and filter out all the noise because you can't even effectively lead yourself, let alone an entire team, organization, department, you name it, if you're so consumed with everything that is coming at you. So I'm curious just for you in general, not necessarily your clients, but what do you do? What are some practices that you've put in place to kind of keep yourself focused mm-hmm. and whole on, you know, what the mission is, what you're targeting, and not get sucked into the fear mongering and the scarcity yeah. and the lack of consciousness that's out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for me personally, I start my day in prayer. I am all about talking to God, opening my scriptures, and having that quiet time. I have a daughter who is 8 years old, and unless there is an emergency, she knows that she is not to interrupt me before 7 o'clock in the morning. I am not a very Christian mother if I don't get some time. I'm just going to be honest about it. And so having that quiet spiritual time in the morning for me is, it's almost non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, even if we go on family vacation, I'm still doing it. And so, and there are people who are like, well, don't you want to sleep in? I'm like, no, not really. I'm good. Cause by 6 o'clock, like I'm already like used to waking up anyhow. So, and I'd rather have that peaceful time, that quiet alone time with me and God than getting an hour of sleep, quite honestly. Like I really, it's like, it's that much more of an importance to me. And then I actually am very careful about what I eat. I can tell when I'm not eating well, like I just don't do well. I can't, my stress levels are, I just can't handle it. And I'm not responding as patiently and as kindly and as compassionate for myself as well as for others. And so, and that's, again, this isn't because I talked to like some doctor somewhere and they're like, you have to eat this and this. I'm like, that's not what I can just tell. I can absolutely tell. And then the other thing too, is I've gotten more and more exacting with cutting things out of my schedule and being very, very particular about my schedule. And that makes a huge difference for me because I can tell if I have too much packed in. I just can't handle the stress of the things that are going on. And so, and I know that I'm in a different situation where I'm working from home, and as a business owner, I have a lot of choices, right, of how I'm going to spend my time, and that can be very different from somebody who is an executive working at a company, and the expectation is that you're on from 8 to 6, right? However, even when I used to work full time, I used to make sure that I had the type of lunch break that I wanted to have. And if that lunch break was with a friend or with a client or whatever it was, like that was still a priority for me in the middle of the day. And it didn't matter if I was working until 6, 7 o'clock at night, it didn't matter. I still made sure to have that little time for me in the middle of the day. And so anyhow, so I've continued to do that.
So it sounds like your strategy, if we want to put it that way, is really around being intentional on what you feed yourself, mm-hmm. right? So that pouring into yourself first, that whatever you are consuming, whether that is food, whether that is information, whatever it is out there, that you are very selective about that. And that allows you to do the work that you're doing. And something that you said mm-hmm. too was with regards to, you know, us being in a different environment where, you know, to an extent, right, we have some control or we have more control over our time. But as you know, being an entrepreneur, that's not always necessarily the first thought, right? Most entrepreneurs, like, they are workaholics, aka yep. recovering workaholic right here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so much of our time, so much of our effort, and so much of our energy is put into this too. So for those of you listening, you know, I want you to be listening to this regardless of what camp you sit in, whether you're in a traditional work environment or you are an entrepreneur, that, you know, in order for us to show up as our best selves for ourselves before anyone else, that we have to be very intentional. We have to be relentless when it comes to ensuring that, you know, what we house within us does not take us out. Cause at the end of the day, if we're not optimal, we can't help, we can't support, we can't right. drive towards goals or whatever else is being expected of us. So I thank you for sharing that. And then one other thing that I wanted to touch on too, because, you know, with your book coming out around compassion, that has risen to the top of the leaderboard, if you will, if you look at top leadership competencies and what organizations are really stressing right now in terms of behaviors that they are expecting their leaders to demonstrate. And of course, employees are expecting that as well. So I'm curious, you know, and you don't have to like spill the beans on your book, but, you know, if you could share with us just some high level points around what it looks like to be that compassionate leader and what it looks like to build community and connection and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and thank you for asking about that. And thank you for recognizing how compassion is rising to the top of the list of qualities that we're needing from leaders, right? And so one of the things that I think is really important is that we have to recognize that in order to be compassionate for all the other people, we have to first hold up that mirror to ourselves and be compassionate for ourselves. Okay. There are a lot of people who are, it's like in their mind, they're going over problems again and again and again, problems that they created or that they feel like, oh, I should have seen that. I should have gotten ahead of it. You know, as a leader, it's like you're out there, you're in front, you're leading the charge, so to speak. Depending if it's big or small team, it doesn't matter. There's just a lot of that visibility. And so we tend to take things on ourselves pretty heavily. And so I think a key thing, and I get into this in the book, is that in order to have that really good collaboration in your workplace community, is that you have to recognize that you're one of those individuals contributing as well. And if something's off, you've got to deal with it. You have to deal with it because you cannot go fix other people who seem like the problem children people at work if you're not even looking at your own things too. And so, and it doesn't mean you have to be super open about it, be like, okay, everybody, I suck at this. You know, like you don't have to necessarily do that, right? You know, but at the same time, just for yourself, well, acknowledging it, right? Instead of squishing it down. Right. And it's like, stop doing that. That's not serving anybody. And it's definitely not serving them as the leader. And so, so when you're seeing that emotion, when you're seeing that thing, that memory that you keep circling again and again and again in your immediate thinking, it's not just somewhere in the back, right? But just keeps coming up again and again and again. I would invite people who are watching this to just stop and take a time out, please, for the love. Pause and recognize something is trying to show itself to you. Don't try to squash it down. Stop and say, wow, what is this, right? Let your curiosity and say, what is this thing? What's happening here? What's showing itself to me? And this is where having a coach or a mentor is really helpful too, because you can talk things through with people. And then look at that and get real about, okay, well, what's the story behind it? And then there's a whole process where you can reframe things and, you know, whatnot too. But sometimes just that first thing of, well, why is this keep showing up? And there are so many people who are running so fast, Sabine. We are going so fast still as a society that it's like, I don't have time for that, right? I don't have time to deal with this. And then just going to keep coming back and it's just going to keep biting at you. It's just going to keep biting at you. Right. And so when do you ever finally stop and say, okay, I'm worth the time. I am just as important as all my people, right? There's a lot of coaching I do. Companies bring me in and they'll have me coach with individuals. And there are so many times you'll be like, oh, I'm so like, so glad for all the things that my company's doing for my people. I'm like, okay, let's talk about you. What's going on for you? And they're like, oh, wow, I can't remember the last time I had a coach, right? So again, they're like trying to get all the love for other people. I'm like, you deserve this. Let's lean into it, right? You deserve it. And they can, and I love watching that shift for people. They start to settle into like, yeah, you know what? I actually do deserve this, you know, just like I deserve to have that hour alone in the morning before my day goes crazy. It's okay. But I have to be intentional. I got to plan for it. Right. You know, the same thing for people. It's like if your calendar is so tight and you don't have any spaciousness, when that thing that's bugging you, that keeps nipping at you, when it keeps showing up, you don't have any time.
Absolutely. You know, as I'm thinking about what you were sharing, and even what you stated before with regards to fear, you know, oftentimes, whether you're sitting in a leadership role or not, what keeps us from, I guess, dealing with or exposing even to ourselves what some of those challenges are is, you know, a lot of people, we aren't taught how to effectively deal with emotions, right? And if we were like the dutiful child like you were, or the high achiever, or the person who, you know, was always rewarded for when they were doing good, it takes effort, it takes work, it takes practice to learn how to be okay or sit in what we previously defined as failure, and allow ourselves to, you know, work through whatever those emotions were. I don't know about you, but, you know, if failure even hinted like it had come near me, all of a sudden it wasn't even about me failing at whatever the thing was. It was a personal attack within myself of not being worthy and not being this and not being that. And, you know, it's taken time to work through some of those internal messages. So I think the encouragement here for leaders is for some people who are thinking like, okay, well, yeah, of course I'm compassionate, but they know they're not, right? Mm-hmm. Compassion really starts with when you feel an emotion that does not feel good, what is your first reaction? Is your first reaction to ignore it, to stuff it down, to speak it away, to, you know, positively affirm whatever? Or is it just to sit with it and say, you know what, this doesn't feel good. I feel frustrated. You name it first. Whatever the thing is, you identify it, feel it, and then let it go. I think that that's the biggest or the best way to begin to train yourself to show yourself compassion, so that you can begin to outwardly project that same compassion onto others as well.
Absolutely. So true. And that's where I try to describe to people, you know, it's going to feel like something is nagging at you, right? It's going to feel, ironically, you've had this little gnat that's been bugging you, right? That's been zipping around. You know what I mean? It's like this little thing. It's like, what? Just stop, you know, but it's presenting itself. It's a thing. It's demanding some attention, right? And so it's the same thing with those emotions, right, that come up for us. And so just seeing that for what it is. And if you're so busy constantly consuming so much media, like I would tell people, Mike, turn off the television, people. Turn it off. Let's turn down the noise, right? But even if in your own life, it's like you have the choice over if you're going to turn that TV on or not.
I agree. And again, it goes back to it's about intentionality, right? It's about intentionality. We can all say we don't have time. We don't have time to work out. We don't have time to, you know, connect with people. We can always say that. But the truth is, we know that the things that matter to us, we make time for. And so hopefully those of you who are watching or who are listening to the podcast here, you've taken some tidbits away to really start to examine, you know, what am I feeding myself? And again, not just food, right? What am I feeding my mind? What am I feeding my emotions? What am I feeding every aspect of myself? And then examine, you know, where you might have some opportunity to make some changes. This is not an overnight thing, right? Change does not happen overnight. We are humans. And so human behavior will dictate that we will regress at some point, but giving yourself that grace to know that if you are intentional about moving towards a certain path, then you will get there for sure. So I want to head into our blitz session, right, real quick, but wanted to share some announcements, especially for those of you who are listening to the podcast. So Leadership Reloaded is out on Amazon. If you haven't gotten your copy, I invite you to do so. Jen was on episode 65, I believe, of the show. And then one big announcement, I've been sharing this privately to the podcast guests, but She Leads Network enrollment is now open specifically for the collective. And so that is for women who are in senior leadership roles, who are looking for connection, collaboration, and coaching. So if you have not already checked out, you can go to the website, sheleadsnetwork.com/collective, or if you go to She Leads Network, you'll see collective at the top. take a look. If it's something that you're interested in, go ahead, hit that apply button, schedule some time so that we can talk and I can learn more about your goals and see how I might support you through the collective. So with that, I'm going to read your health and your desired legacy, and we're going to see if it still holds true. And then if you would share outside of your book, of course, if there are any books that you would like to recommend to the audience. The desired legacy is to be someone who demonstrated that people can have compassion for themselves and then have compassion for others. Does that still hold true?
Absolutely. And it's fun to think about. God, I can't believe it's been a year, Sabine. Really, I mean, this is why time goes by so fast, right? I'm like, oh, let's choose how we want to spend our time. But I just think about even in the last year, the cool people that have come into my life that I didn't know even a year ago. And
glad to hear it. Yeah. So with that, have there been any new books in the last year that have popped up in your sphere that you would like to recommend?
I recently did a deep dive in John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's fabulous. So good. He's a pastor at some mega church in Portland or something. So I've never seen him live, but he really gets into how important it is that we just slow down. And I enjoyed it so much. I actually hosted a book club with some other women. And none of them had heard of the book before. So they were really grateful that I even put it on their radar. And John Mark Comer shares some really good ideas about what we can do. One of them even was as simple as come to a full stop at the stop sign. I know that just totally just broke the internet right there. Right.
What? Yeah. Uh-huh. Just that. No, sir.
I'm like, oh, a full stop? What a novel idea.
I love it. Okay, so we will be sure to include that in the show notes. So that is The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. So with that, Jen, thank you so much for coming back on the show. I'm excited for your book, especially excited to have that out in the atmosphere, because we need more compassion. We need more grace, and not just for people who are sitting in leadership seats, but for us as a society in general. So thank you for that. And then certainly for those of you who are listening to the show, please feel free to share this. And of course, subscribe, leave a review. And if you have questions or ahas, you can always reach out to me at support@sabinegideon.com. So with that, have a wonderful rest of the week, and we will be back next week. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of She Leads Now. If you found today's episode helpful or got a piece of insight that you plan to implement in your business or organization, I would love to hear from you. Connect with me on LinkedIn at Sabine Gideon, that's my handle, and send me a private message, or feel free to go ahead and leave a review on either Apple or Spotify. I also invite you to share this episode with anyone in your network who you think might benefit from this content. Lastly, be sure to check the show notes and the description below for links to resources, including relevant downloads, articles, and any upcoming training. Until we chat again, have a blessed and powerful week.